Times have changed, I never recognised anything or anything. It's different altogether from what it used to be.
Yeah.
You never know where he was now. Yeah. I wouldn't know if you hadn't had it explained to me. Times have changed, people's clothes, everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
So are you afraid?
What a changed places is. Oh, years ago, this was all fields.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, dear. And there was a whole place so much as round here that I used to go and hide out many a time. Mm-hmm. It's all gone too. Oh, dear. Goodness me, I have no desire to come back to your world. I've had my fill of it. You wouldn't understand if I told you.
Why not?
Good, happy old days. I'm a different fella now. I'm a different chap. I'm a happy man. I wasn't exactly miserable when I was on your side. I had me ups and me downs. I had me good times, I had me bad times. But when I was on your side, oh dear, oh dear, this was all countryside, all fields, and a few little places here and there. A little hamlet not far from here, the ones in a very good old place called the Boer, where I used to go and hide up for a while sometimes when things got a bit too hot.
So where are you?
I was on the road. My name won't mean a thing, of course, to you.
Why
should it? My name was Harry. Harry.
Harry.
Yeah. Harry Tucker. Yeah, old Harry Tucker.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to say what some of them used to call me, but I had some good lucks, and I had a few guineas here and there. The old coaching place wasn't so far away, but it used to sometimes change horses you wouldn't remember about it. It was quite a nice one. I used to go out there to Hempstead.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to be a great friend of old Will's. He was a bright spark, he was. You're living many years after me. Oh, I'm talking about.
Were you on the highway?
I was talking about 160, 180 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh dear, oh dear. Not so far, old Tyburn was up here. Some of the unlucky ones. I had the good fortune to die in my bed. I cheated them, didn't I?
Harry, you were a highwayman, weren't you?
Well, you could call me that. Yeah. I wasn't exactly highwayman. I was a bit of this, a bit of that.
Well, hey, when you passed over?
When I did what?
When you died, what?
Ah,
tell about that.
When I died.
How did you react to it? What sort of conditions did you find yourself in?
I didn't quite get. I was my mistress in the bar. I was getting on a bit then, and I got a little bit tucked away.
Yeah?
I snuffed it. I remember coming down that staircase. The place was dark. Not a soul about.
Yes, go on, Harry.
Didn't know as how as I was dead. Honey, I had a feeling for something to whet my appetite.
Yeah.
Funny then. I thought I'd get a bottle. Funny thing there, coming down the steps.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, I hadn't lit a candle, I don't know, but it was a summer's night. The moon was bright. This seemed the way. I knew where to go. I'd been there hundreds of times. He didn't know it, the old chap, man. He didn't know that often I used to go and help myself in the night. It was habit, I suppose. When there's all asleep, he said, now I'd poke the old door down, I'd go, he knew where to get a bowl. He never missed it. That night I went down. Must have been 3 or 4 in the morning. I remember hearing a church clock strike. 3 it was. Went to the usual place. I put my hand in the car. happened. I went to get out of the bottle. Couldn't pick it up. Didn't make any sign on it. Never happened before. Just seemed funny. Couldn't get out of that bottle. Couldn't grab that bottle. More I put my hand around it, more difficult it was. Didn't feel as if I was touching the thing. Then it suddenly stopped coming down the stairs. It was as if, I don't know, I didn't feel my hand on the banister and my feet on the stairs. Didn't feel any weight. I thought to myself, gradually, I thought, well, I feel light, you know. I thought, well, this is most strange. So I thought, well, I must be dreaming or something, or I must be sick. So I go up, back into the bed. So I goes up the stairs, quiet-like. Didn't feel as if I was touching the stairs, and I thought, I'm light-headed. Something, you know, odd. Like, opens the door, that's another funny thing. I push the door, and it's as if somehow I'd walk through it, which I thought I must be having some sort of a dream or something, nightmare, you know. And I goes to get on the bed, and I sees a man there. I thought, I've gone into the wrong room. So I starts to go back. And then I thought, sort of felt something odd, strange, uncanny. The light was, moonlight was streaming through that bed, onto that bed. And I could see this man's face, and I thought, God, oh, he's like me. And somehow, when I went close up to him and looked at it, I could see it was me. I couldn't believe my eyes. I didn't even know what to make on it, so I started running down those stairs like as if the devil was behind me. Shouting, I was at the top of my voice. No one seemed to hear a word. No one came. I thought, this is strange. What's gone wrong here? So I ran up the stairs and banged on the doors. I could hear the noise of the banging, but no one woke up. No one took any notice. I was in a terrible state. I flew out down the stairs, opened the door of the inn, and flew down the path, shouting. I ran down the road, across the fields, and I came to a river, not far from here, it was. And I stopped at the river. And I thought, there's something wrong, this is a nightmare. This is crazy, this is madness, this is stupid, this is, you know, I just couldn't realize. I sat down on the bank, and I was, I don't know, like, as if I was, in a dream, I just couldn't believe this is true. I suddenly began to realize there's something different about me. I didn't feel the same. And by this time, it was getting daybreak. And I was sitting on the edge of this bank. I could see the water. And I could suddenly, as I looked down, I could see myself. It's an reflection, I suppose. And I couldn't believe it. It didn't look like me.
Come on, Harry, it looks interesting.
Come on, Harry, it's very interesting.
Harry? It looked like a young fella.
Oh.
A very young fella it was. I couldn't believe it. And then, after a while, I thought, this ain't me. What's that? I thought someone behind me, and I turned around, and there was no one there. I could make it. I made it a day of it. And then I got up. I walked. Must have been miles I walked. And by this time people were about. I remember a carriage went by. It was full of people. And I was thinking to myself, I'd have been able to have perhaps got a few guineas or something, but somehow it was as if I was not myself at all. And then I walked on and on, and it seemed as if everything was going past me. And the funny thing was, it seemed as if as a crowd of people started to gather, all walking, and I couldn't see them. But I could hear them chattering, I could hear them talking, I could hear them laughing. I could hear their footsteps, and I stopped and I looked behind me, and I couldn't see anyone. And if I walk on a bit, I stopped and looked behind me, no one there. I could see people that were doing that ordinary things, passing little cottages and places and so people, painting their carpets and bringing in eggs from the chickens and the cows I could see in the fields and occasionally I could see some of the folks that go by, but these were poor people that they couldn't see me, I suppose. At least I spoke to several people and no one said nothing. There's just the nugget of these people behind me, all the time I hear people behind me. It's as if no one could see me. And I could see those that were still on earth, but I couldn't see these other peoples that I knew was behind me. And it was like a great crowd of people. It was as if I was not aware of that. And yet I knew they was there. I wanted to know who they was and what they was and why they was following me. And why I could see other people that were still, obviously, on earth. And they couldn't see me, the people on earth. As if I wasn't there and I was there. And no one realised I was there. And, you know, I was there with them. No one spoke, no one took no notice. And I remember I felt angry. And I came to a little place beside a mean place. And I could see some people going in there. And I thought I'd go in and see if I'd get something to eat. And I could hear these people laughing and chattering. And as I went in the door, I could hear them behind me. And I looked round sharp, and no one came in. And I could see other people inside. And I sat down. And I banged on the table, some attention, but no one came. No one took any notice. Someone on the other side was eating a pie or something. And there was a woman there in the corner. And she looked like one of those sorts. And I don't know, I just don't know what to think. And I kept banging on the table. No one took any notice. And I went up to the bar place. Called out to the man. I says, "Don't give me, I want something, you know. Look me up, like yourself." And he didn't take no notice. The woman came over and she got a drink. He was talking to her. I was standing there and I shoved her one side, but she didn't seem to take any notice. And I realised that these people, they just didn't know I was there. And I was in a state and I could, well, I didn't know. I just still felt empty inside. And yet I felt all the time as if I was delirious. Anyway, I realised it was no good, so I went out, and when I got to the door, I could see a whole crowd of people. Oh, there must have been hundreds of people. Well, there was men, and there was women, and there was children, and there was dogs, and there was all stretching right across the road there was, and they were all laughing and chatting, and two people came forward out of the crowd, and I recognised them. One was my father. He'd been dead or somewhere around 40 years. And he came laughing. I'd never seen him. Looks well, red face, happy, jolly. He looked. And with him was my sister, who died many years before she had. And there they was. They says, "Come on, come on. We've been following you and waiting for you." But he wasn't ready. You couldn't see us. You didn't know we was there. We brought all our old friends. And then I looked around me and I could see that none of these people were people I had met known years ago. Because my father was a very religious man. He was. Oh, shocking he was. And I ran away from home when I was quite young, as you know. And we was so happy. And I felt so awful. I began to realise that, by this time I knew something terrible had happened, but I would hardly admit it to myself, I suppose. But anyway, they took me by my arms, and they were pushing me and pulling me and through this crowd, and they was all singing, and I realised that they were singing some song. Can't remember how it went, but it was as if it's a choir, like you might get in a church, said to me, "One singing nothing religious." But it was happy and bright and colourful and all that, you know. And everybody, I realised then, looked awfully well dressed. We struck me as odd, because we were never well off people. And they was dressed nice and neat and tidy. And I noticed another thing, that they all got their own hair. Of course, we used to do upper out there, and then with the rich people just a pair of theirs, and sometimes they have these artificial hair, you know. And all these people look neat and tidy, and hair was beautifully brushed and nice and fresh and clean and nice attire they got. And I looked at myself and I was amazed because I hadn't got no more of them old clothes that I'd been wearing. I was like I was when I was a young man, but dressed in a nice suit. I was plum coloured suit it was, and nice breeches and nice shoes. And I realised I was different. It was as if somehow all of a sudden this had come. But I'd be a nice artist. It was just people's, their thoughts and their sort of air look, I suppose, towards me. Help me. Oh, we went up this place, this road, singing and chanting there was. And I'm laughing to myself then. I was getting more happy and merry, and I lost my hunger. I didn't feel hungry no more. And then, all of a sudden, we seemed to come to the top of an hill. Funny that was, because up to then, the countryside was, as I'd always remembered it, and then all of a sudden, we got to the top of this hill. And I looked down, and it was different, nothing like I'd ever seen before. It was like looking at a distance, a great city, it was. Oh, it was a beautiful sight, it was. Beautiful places, buildings in the distance, just if it was lit up. Oh, bright and shiny and new and lovely. It was as if the walls were made of jasper and pearl. And, oh, it was lovely, it was real lovely. And the next thing I knew was I was standing outside what was like an entrance to a, so you call it, a castle. But it was not like any castle I'd ever seen. But it was a big place with turrets. And it was very nice and lovely to look at. And it was outside these gates, and these gates gradually opened as if no one was there to open them. I glided through, I walked through, but I was no longer with all these people. It was as if I was on my own, and I was conscious of a very tall person beside me, but I couldn't see him. And I knew that if I could see him, he'd be very light and beautiful. I don't know why, but I had a sort of feeling as if he was a knight or something, and you know, I knew I couldn't see. But it was as if he was a wonderful soul or someone who was full of light, you know. Anyway, we went into this place and up a great staircase and along a big, I suppose, balcony it was. And then we came to a room, a door, and went in this door. And another thing is, if this door opened, it was overcooled. And there was a great big hall. Oh, enormous place it was. Beautifully, you know, turned out, and there was great big tapestries on the wall, beautiful colours and needlework, and there were several ladies sitting there in old-fashioned costume. There was, as I had heard people talk about, the beautiful materials and lovely ladies there was, and there was a man there, and I don't know, I thought at first he was a king or something, but I realised afterwards he wasn't anything at all, but he was a wonderful-looking old. I say, oh, well, he looked old, yet as I reckoned him, I knew he wasn't. It was some sort of a, I don't know, but there again, you see something and you feel something, and in this state I was in, anyway, he was sitting on this sort of big chair on a sort of raised up part, he was, and these ladies were sitting around. And anyway, I was conscious of a great deal of sort of, oh, I don't know, warmth, I suppose, a nice feeling from him. And I was sort of walking down this sort of hall place, and as I got near him, he stood up and he beckoned me forward, and he says, well, I always remember, he says, well, now you are here, you shall see for yourself how you have prepared that which is your home. I don't know what to think, besides suddenly, as if all of a sudden I remembered all the things I'd done. I'd never done no one any real injury, thank God, but I'd robbed and thieved a bit, and well, but these were hard times, and I thought, this is all my life, get back in front of me. Anyway, he beckoned me to follow him, and we went down a long corridor, and then we seemed to be going down and down and down and down. I thought, as if we was going down into dungeons, and yet I can't say it was like dungeons or it was that dark. Of course, though we were going down this long sort of passage place, it was illuminating, it wasn't dark, and there was no torches, no nothing to light it up, but I was conscious of the light. And then he came to what was a, well, I suppose a room, not very big room, and in there was a man sitting at a table. And I looked at him as I went in, and he was like me, as I was. I couldn't understand this. And then this other person said, this is as you were. So I says, how do you mean who I was? He says, you were like a man in a dungeon. He says, you created for yourself walls and shut out the things that mattered. And this is no more, he says. This is no longer you. This is reflections of what was. He says, but what is and what is to come is what matters. He says, you created for yourself a dungeon for darkness. You built yourself around yourself a wall. You shut out the light because your mind wasn't open. He says, now you shall learn, and I shall help you to know. And come, I will take you elsewhere. And I went with him. And I went back up and up and up. And up many steps. And we came back to the place, the large hall. The ladies were still there. And I remember one of them. She came forward. And she took me by the hand. And it was as if in some strange way she took me by the hand, as if, well, as if I was, well, transformed or something happened. I don't know how to say it. And I looked at her face for the first time. And it was a face that I'd never forgotten. It was a face of a little girl that I was in my early years. Very fond of, very attached to. And as I looked at her, she looked at me, I realized that if my life could have taken a different path, and I could have married her, I'm sure I would have been a different person. I wouldn't have got into bad company and taken up the road and all that. And she smiled at me, and as she smiled, I knew. And if she hadn't died, as she did when she was a young woman, we could have probably married, and I would have probably been a different person. I'd have probably worked on the farm, or done something in the local way that would have got me enough to support us. But she died, that's what really turned me against everything and everybody. And she took my hand, as she did, and she said, now, come. She says, now, you can start all over again with me, and I'm to help you, and I'm to guide you, and to show you the way, she says. And I walked with her out of this great castle place, and we came, so it seemed, to a small place. It was on the verge of a, I suppose, a town, you'd call it, but it was as if it was just outside the town, but and yet it was part of it, and a small little cottage, you should call it, some of the roof was thatched, and it looked open. And there was a beautiful feeling, and it's as if I'd come home, and yet I'd never known this place before on earth. But, and then, as we sort of entered this, she looked different, and yet she was the same. But her clothes changed, and as to this beautiful elaborate dress, she got a very simple cotton, I suppose. I suppose it was cotton, but it looked like a cotton dress or something. But she still looked the same to me. Her clothes were different, but she was the same. And she'd been waiting for me all this time. She'd been watching over me, thinking about me, trying to get me onto the right path she had all those years. It's strange, I think, a little bit there. But now we're together, and we've made so much progress together. And far, far different, of course, to what it was. But this all happened a long time ago. Many years ago, many things have changed. And she comes with me to that today. She's here. She don't say anything, but another time when I'll come, perhaps she will also speak. But I'll tell you more about it all, in more detail than I can tell you now. But I'm having to learn still, of course. But anyway, perhaps another time I can come. I'm not good, perhaps, at describing things. But if it's any interest, because that's what I was told, that they wanted us to come and talk about experience, lives, experiences, as you say it is now, your new language, you know. We're learning a lot of things I'd like to tell you, and perhaps I'll get Jenny, and perhaps we'll tell you a lot more later. But I must go.
Thank you, Harry.
It's been nice meeting you, very nice.
Thank you, Harry.
But, I'll be again with you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Harry. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Harry. That's lovely.